nice, and the Wizards are winning. It's time to go in depth on WTOP with Ask the Owner. Your chance to talk with Caps and Wizards owner Ted Leonsis. Now, live from the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center, your host, Bruce Allen.
And good morning, and Ted, welcome to you. A couple of months late, but good to have you here.
Thanks, it's great to be back.
Do you feel like, when the league wasn't playing, there was a terrible sense of loss. It almost felt like a sadness, a darkness, and then the thing was settled, and birds are singing, the Wizards even started winning, everything turned around.
There was a deep sense of loss from our fans and everyone who worked with the franchise, and, you know, not a fun time when you're renegotiating a CBA, but you're right, the league's back and we're playing. I wish we were winning more. Last night wasn't much fun either,
the two periods we've moved on. It's funny, when the league first came back, I mean, first, fans were angry, actually, at first, I thought. And then when the league came back, it was great, hockey's back, and they seemed to forget about the anger. And then when the Caps didn't win right away, it was almost like, you could hear the growl again.
It's deserved. And I empathize. I get it. It's a very zero-sum game. If you win, the food tastes better, and the music sounds better, and when you lose, it amplifies all of the gripes. And so it's someone once said that winning is the best deodorant, and that was a genius comment. And, you know, that's ultimately the business that teams are in. There's not a lot of goodwill that's put into a bank. It's a very now-oriented business. And so when you're winning, enjoy it, but don't get too high with it. And when you're losing, you have to internalize that people are going to be from grumpy to angry.
Have you felt any kind of a backlash at all from not only fans, but even some of the players maybe?
No, the players are in the game, and they're playing, and they're not worried about anything other than what's in front of them for that period and that game. And so there's zero overhang with the players. They're playing, and you know the deal is one that they voted on, and we're ready to play.
And no hard feelings between the players and management at all, or
no, none at all.
That's good.
And so you know, on the go forward, what the Caps need to do is just perform better. And you know, we have lots of new players, and we've made a lot of change, and we have a new coach, and he's putting in a new system, and the issue, or the kind of the frustration or the concern, is we're 10% through with the season.
That is a concern.
So you don't have a lot of time to get it right. You got to get it right quickly.
At first, one of the players when they came back said, "I feel like we just punched our sport in the mouth." Do you think there is some of that? Do you think the league hurt itself in at least the short term?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, in that you never want to have your customers be unhappy with you. There's no positive in that. I mean, you work really, really hard to have your fans respect and like everything about the game, you know, from the commissioner to owners to players, you know, to the ushers. And so when you have fans that were unhappy or grumpy for however limited period of time, you have to be apologetic, and you have to, you know, you have to move forward.
Right. I mean,
you can't wallow in the past, and you know, we're playing games again. At the same time, they love the game. You know, I remember there was this one guy who was posting on message boards 10,000 plus times every day, 10 to 20 times, saying, "I'll never watch another hockey game." And there was this beautiful irony in it, in that there was so much passion and so much time focused on the game to say, "I'll never watch another game." Of course he's watching a game. But
that's what I meant about the anger replaced by the joy of the game being back.
And there is a group that continues to be upset. And, you know, I think the only way you can move on and get over it, at least for us, is to provide great service, but to win. And I understand that.
The phone number is 1-877-336-1035. That's 1-877-336-1035. 336-1035. We're with Washington Capitals and Wizards owner Ted.
John Wall at the point, left of the circle now. Jordan Crawford, loud for Wall, slam, 2 inches, and the foul by Gasol.
Caps, Wizards, and you. Now more of Ask the Owner with Ted Leonsis. Here's WTOP's Bruce Allen.
And we are back with Ted Leonsis, Washington Caps and Wizards owner, when we take your phone calls and questions at 1-877-336-1035. Ted, let's go to the phones now from Clifton. This is Bob. Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Ted.
Good morning.
How are you? I wanted to ask you a question. First, I made a statement last night. It seemed like the referee was a part of the decision-making there in terms of the game, the last couple minutes making that call on a follow-through high stick. And the referee that was closest to that didn't make the call, and then the referee farther away made the call. I just make that statement. I'm sure you saw the same thing. But my question is more around the selection of coaches that the Capitals have made over the last few years. It seems like, with the exception of Ron Wilson, it seems like every coach that we select, the general manager selects, or you have input into that, I'm sure, is a first-year head coach. And I just wondered, is there something around that you believe highly in first-year head coaches, or do you think maybe there might be an opportunity with a seasoned head coach coming in directing the Capitals? And not to say anything bad about Adam Oates or Dale Hunter, they're great Caps.
All right, Bob, listen, your line has really gone south, Bob, but just to repeat, he's asking about why not get experienced coaches instead of first-year coaches all the time.
I'm honestly going to have to ask George, and I'll respond on my blog. There was no plan behind that. I mean, the process is that George McPhee hires our coaches and fires our coaches, and I don't think he has a stated plan that I want to hire first-time coaches. I think in Adam's case, it was that he was one of the most thoughtful players on the ice, and he did a good job in Tampa as an assistant coach, and then he did a great job in New Jersey, and he had a relationship with the team and had a relationship with George. And when George interviewed everybody, you know, what was reported back to us was that Adam knew the most about our players, and he sold the system that he wanted to implement, and George really thought that with our personnel and where we wanted to take the team, that that was the best solution.
And hockey watchers point to what Oates accomplished with Ilya Kovalchuk in New Jersey last year, and hope that there's a similar situation perhaps with Alex Ovechkin here.
Right, but I will, that was a good question, and I will ask George, and I'll get an answer.
One more coaching question from Robin in Boyd's. Good morning, Robin.
Yeah, hi. I've met Mr. Leonsis, and I think he's a wonderful owner. The coach gets the credit when they win. He gets the blame when they lose. The buck has to stop somewhere. So in light of the poor record so far, how does he assess the performance of Mr. Oates, not last year, but this year?
Well, obviously we don't like where we're situated in the standings, and the team is struggling right now to perfect the new system, and I understand that, but you know, we wanted the new system implemented and we're struggling to do it, and so I don't think it's a issue with the coach. I think it's an issue with where the team is right now in implementing these changes. And I think, you know, as a fan, fans always want change, and you know, when you implement change, it's sometimes hard to get the changes to take positive effect.
Right.
And then they want more change. And sometimes, you know, you just have to show a little bit of patience and belief. And, you know, from my experience, the only time that you make a coaching change is when the coach almost tells you when it's time. When they've run out of ideas or they're not connecting with the players, and you can sense it, and the coaches know it. I mean, it's not a surprise to a coach when a coach gets fired because they've lost the room. And right now, our performance has nothing to do with the coach. It has to do with we want to play a new system. And, you know, we saw that we put Alex on the right side, and he embraced that. He was a part of that change. But he had a whole career and life of playing on the left side, And in the heat of battle, he would just kind of move to the left side. And then you'd show him the film, and he wasn't even aware of it. And so because it's such a shortened season, it's tougher to implement these changes.
There was also, as long as you mentioned new systems, there was a new ticketing system this year, which I understood did work better in succeeding games, but the first game at home turned out to be somewhat of a disaster for the digital ticketing.
That's not true. And you know, I marvel here at WTOP at how you've morphed into this new world, this new interactive world. When I first came here, you were a radio station. Then you put up a couple of TV cameras, and now you're fully on the web. And you know, right next door, we used to sit and hang out, you know, people tweeting weather updates and news updates to subscribers. And so it was a very cold night, that opening night. And we had two things that were going on. One was a security system. Across the league, we're taking security much more diligently, and it starts at entering the building. And so we're wanding people. That was really the major issue, and it was cold. And someone tweeted a photo of the lines. The lines, you know, were 7 minutes, but it felt like 20. And, you know, the majority of the people come in at the same time. But depending on the where you came in, the lines were longer. So it was a combination of cold weather and the security and a couple of issues where someone didn't really understand how the new system would work. We implemented that system for the Wizards. Our staff knows how to work it. The Wizards fans had a preseason game. You know, they've had games to get used to it. The world is going digital. We want to be digital. The card allows for us to do all sorts of good things, like preloading money and gifts. We want to be able to more seamlessly have fans be able to move their tickets to other people using digital.
I saw you post something how it makes it easier to actually email tickets to friends or whoever you're giving your tickets to.
It saves fans money that way. And you know, someone said, "Oh, you're so cheap, you didn't want to print tickets." And I said, "Well, you know, we did save some money by not printing tickets, but we spent that same amount of money and a lot more, you know, building the digital infrastructure." And, you know, Georgetown does it, the Wizards do it, the Caps do it, the Nats are now doing it. I mean, it's we have to get used to it. But I understand, again, why fans... You know, what was right in front of them was, it seems I'm waiting a long time, and I apologize.
Along the left board, Ovechkin with a pass into Backstrom, has it down low in front, he scores!
You're listening to Ask the Owner with Ted Leonsis on WTOP. Now, here's Bruce Allen.
Welcome back. If you'd like to talk with Ted, ask a question about the Caps or the Wizards or the arena or anything else, the number is 1-877-336-1035. Let's talk about the Wizards for a bit. They're winning. Congratulations.
Thank you. Before we do, I just learned something, and the fans should know. Did you know that Bruce not only is a hockey dad, but is a certified level 3 hockey coach? 4, excuse me.
Certifiable, that's for sure.
And I knew you were a fan. I didn't realize that. But I'm sure there's somebody out there who's...
But you're a hockey dad, too. Yeah. We're all experts now.
Well, we are. I didn't get certified as a coach, though. And I just heard that Dave Johnson, our basketball announcer, is a hockey dad, and he, too, is certified. So that it shows the love of the game, and that's great.
We all wanted to be credible busybodies as we stood there beside the rink.
So back to the Wizards, yep, we are playing better, and since we were really decimated by injuries, and again, we had made so much change. When John Wall is your longest tenured player and he's in the third year of his rookie contract and he didn't play, you know, to start the season. And yeah, since he's been back, the fans are starting to see what we believe when we were putting the team together. We thought the first 2 years we really had to deconstruct the team and bring in all these young players, and this year we brought in some vets, and obviously we're not stopping. We have to continue. We have to add to the team, but I think the fans can sense that the team that we put on the floor has high character. They have skills, talented. They work really hard. They're really, really coachable. And
it was like a light switch, though, when John Wall came back. I mean, is he really the whole team?
Well, you know, basketball's five players, 8 or 9 person rotation, and we're still not really seeing what will be. And that, you know, in basketball, you have to have 3 bedrock players, and then you have 5 or 6 players that you rotate in and out. And, you know, most teams, their star players are playing 40 minutes a game, and Nene's playing 20 to 25 minutes a game, and he improved the team, and now John's back, and he started to play 20 minutes. He's now 25 minutes, and he's starting. But, you know, if we can get those players healthy and functioning to their capabilities from a health standpoint, which I'm sure we will, they should be playing 35 to 40 minutes. And yeah, I think they improve the play of everyone around them. I mean, Okafor is playing the way we expected him.
Right. It's like everybody's playing better. It's just phenomenal. Yep. And at the beginning, it was more than just John Wall. Nene was hurt.
Trevor Booker was out.
And AJ Price was hurt.
Ariza. I mean, you were missing,
yeah, like everybody was out.
Yeah, we were missing 5 rotational players. Now, again, you can communicate to the fans and say, nobody can plan for the loss of 5 of 8 players, especially when you're in the midst of a rebuild.
Right.
We weren't a veteran team to begin with that had a strong foundation. But no one wants to hear that. And so as you communicate that, really it sounds like spin and hype and justification for starting 0-12. We didn't win a game in our first dozen games. And the fans just, they're bottom line oriented. They want you to win. And again, I apologize. There's nothing we could do about that one.
We do want to mention, by the way, for listeners who are interested, text the word Wizards to 91035 between now and 11 o'clock, and we'll have several winners of a pair of tickets to the Wizards Knicks game February 6th, along with a prize pack. And that should be a good night because everybody's healthy and we're playing better right now.
Knicks beat us pretty good last time we played them. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to the game. There's always a lot of excitement when you play a team from New York or L.A. and should be a fun game. And
you happy with Randy Whitman?
Yeah, Randy's a basketball man through and through in Indiana basketball and Bobby Knight. And he's not shy about sharing his opinions. I sit close to the action, and sometimes I have to turn the other way. He's pretty straightforward with the players and demands accountability. But the players have reacted in the best way that they can, which is effort and teamwork and belief in if they work hard that they'll get good results. And so I'm very happy with the integrity and the character. And that was a big step forward for us because we were accused of, you know, not having a great optics in the locker room, not having players that were coachable and were united, and that's not the issue right now. We might have some talent deficiencies in some places, but we don't have work ethic or coachability, and that was a big step forward for us.
It's been a pretty good stretch for the Wizards, not only a good road trip, but they were just within seconds or within points, however you look at it, of the 6th win in a row at home. Is that something you see a payoff in attendance right away, or does it take a while for that to really pay off?
Well, we have fantastic fans, and I'm very grateful to fans, and you know, our attendance has been good. When we bought the team, I think there were about 3,000 season ticket holders, and now we have 8,800, 8,900 season ticket holders. There's not a lot of teams in the NBA that get to the 10,000 season ticket holder level. That's one of our goals. I'm sure we'll get there next year. And so you know, those are positive signs. Now, when you win, not only will you sell out all of the games, but you get that dynamic of demand. We don't have demand yet for the Wizards. So once you get demand, then you're always sold out because fans have confidence. Well, I can buy season tickets, and the games I can't go to, I can resell on the secondary market.
Right.
And there's something magical there because for a fan, it almost puts them in business. They can buy their season tickets at a lower price, and then they can resell them and make a profit, and that makes their ultimate cost. And so that we intend to and we hope to make a really, really good team, sell out the building, have happier fans. There's that cycle that goes up.
We are right back with Ted Leonsis. Your phone calls are welcome at 877-336-1035. And we've got some email questions as well when we come back.
John Wall at the point, left of the circle now. Jordan Crawford, lob for Wall, slam, two hands, and the foul by Gasol.
Caps, Wizards, and you. Now more of Ask the Owner with Ted Leonsis. Here's WTOP's Bruce Allen.
And our phone number this morning, if you'd like to take part, is 1-877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. If you'd like to talk to Ted, and also text the word Wizards to 91035. Between now and 11 o'clock, and you may find yourself with a pair of tickets to the Wizards-Knicks game February 6th, along with a prize pack. And we do have an email question here, Ted. This is from Mike, who says to us he's very concerned about the Caps' slow start. Scoring is going to be an issue all year long if we do not pick someone up. He says, what is with Ovi? Your thoughts, please.
Well, we're concerned, too. And I'm not so sure that scoring is going to be an issue, but it has been to date. And Alex is off to a slow start, and I'm surprised because he did go play in the KHL, and but he's having to get integrated into this new system, and we put him on the right side. Now he's back on the left side, and he needs to play better. And so I don't have the answers. Obviously, I'm not running the hockey operations, but if I did, if I knew what to do, I would go see George and, and Adam, but I don't, and so they're going to have to work it out.
Even for players who did play overseas during the lockout, even in countries where the national team is very impressive, when you spread that talent out over a league like the KHL, all that talent is not at the same level as the NHL. So it's just a hair slower and just a little bit
slower. Well, and they have bigger ice. And so, in fact, you know, that was when I asked Alex, when I saw him during those 6 days that we had to work out. I mostly talked to him about his engagement, but you know, I said, "What's your biggest concern?" He said, "KHL is different, but the big ice to the smaller ice, I'm going to have to get adapted to because you don't have the room to operate." And you know, he gets double teamed all the time, and so he has to keep moving. And I mean, that's the one thing I've noticed when he doesn't have a good game, he seems to be more stationary. And the coaches, video coaches, show him that. We made a little change organization. We have two video coaches now, one that focuses on systems and shows the coaches use as a teaching aid, and the second one that's focused on individual play so that the coaches can work with the players individually to show them, now here's what you did in that shift, and in the context of the system, you know, this is what happens, but for you personally, this is what you have to do to improve.
When the players first came back, there was concern that Nicholas Backstrom had re-suffered or re-injured himself overseas, having suffered a terrible concussion last season. It turns out he did not have another concussion, but is there enough done in the NHL to protect against concussions, and is that as big an issue for your league as it is in the NFL?
Well, the health of our players is, you know, probably the most important issue in the league. They're who the fans come to see, and they really matter. And you know, the NHL does a lot of work and really was the leader in trying to protect players from concussions. There's nowhere to run out of bounds in the NHL, and the players are getting bigger and faster, and the ice isn't, right? And so we're very, very concerned about it. George McPhee is on one of the committees, and there's a lot of work that's being done in Canada and the U.S. Nick was concussed because of a player hitting him with an elbow and hit him really in the forehead, not in the helmet area. And a lot of concussions come from getting hit in the jaw, wearing your mouth guards, and work that's being done on mouth guards. But these are violent games. They're games played at high speed by big people, and we have to do our best. And we've made big investments across the board, but we need to do better. And the players and the union and the league and buildings, we're all working together to try to figure out how to improve.
Any concern that the NHL could face lawsuits for long-term injuries like the NFL has found itself in?
Well, we need to take care of our veteran players and players who have retired, and you know, all leagues are looking at how to be more thoughtful and more supportive of the alumni. I think that that's kind of a social responsibility that we all have.
Along the left board, Ovechkin with a pass into Backstrom, has it down low in front, he scores!
You're listening to Ask the Owner with Ted Leonsis on WTOP. Now, here's Bruce Allen.
And the phone number, if you'd like to join in, 1-877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Your questions are welcome for Ted. Let's go to Woodbridge now. And is it Kelly? Is that you?
That's me. Thank you,
Bruce. Hey, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. You're on with Ted.
Sure, Ted. I got a request, and when I go to the games, the music is so loud that I can't have a conversation with the person next to me, and whether it's my son or a business colleague or a friend, you know, that's part of the fun of being at the game is being able to talk to them about what's going on the court or the ice, and it's just really so loud that I can't do it without screaming. So just put in a request to lower it by a few decibels, and or what you think about that.
That's interesting.
Sometimes I feel that way too, and you know, it's part entertainment. There's a little showbiz around it, and you know, back in the day, you played organ music
right,
where there was nothing, and some people like that. Younger people tend to really like the speed of the game and lots of music and lots of entertainment and lots of video and the like. And you know, we do our best to research and talk to people, and we even on the volume, we have people at games that are sensing, is it, where is it too loud? Where is it not loud enough? I mean, we have some issues sometimes upstairs where you can't hear clearly enough. And so it's a big arena. You know, the technology is getting better and better in terms of audio. A couple of years ago, we made a big upgrade and an investment. If you would send me an email, or if somehow, if you're still on the line, let me know where you sit. I can send somebody there to honestly check to see if the volume is too high. And, you know, we would do that. We would look at that.
He's not online anymore. But, Kelly, if you email Ted, or if you don't have the email address, email me here at the radio station. We'll make sure it gets to Ted. It's amazing what a big part of the experience the sound and the video has become. I mean, I'm not a kid, but I love that Unleash the Fury video.
Yeah, you know, there's I grew up, you know, I'd go to games with my dad, and it would be dark. I remember people used to smoke cigarettes at games. So it was like being on an airplane where people used to smoke, and you'd see all the mist from the cigarette smoke. And, you know, the most entertainment you would have was the organist.
Right.
And so we've come a long way. Some people really like it. Some people have issues. And, you know, when you have 20,000 people in a building to get everything just right, and, you know, what I have found, again, you win, the music sounds great. It was a perfect night. And you said that people are going to come to a Wizards game as our guest, and they're going to get a prize pack. And I have no idea what's in the prize pack, but I can guarantee you if we win that game, whatever's in the prize pack will fit great and look great, and we'll be great owners. And if we lose, it'll be, boy, you were cheap, and I can't believe this is all you gave me for free. So
that's funny.
Winning is what it's all about.
Something new this year for anyone who's been on the team's websites is the new Monumental Network. Explain what that is and what it's all about.
Well, just like you. You used to be a radio station. Now you're a multiple media, news, information, traffic, weather, distribution company. We have to do the same thing. And we're ideally situated to have that transformation, and that we're one of the few independent companies that owns the building, manages two other buildings with Kettler and the Patriot Center. So we draw lots of people. So our ratings, if you will, we draw lots of people, and we own three teams. We own the Mystics and the Wizards and the Capitals. And so we have musicians coming in. We have restaurants around. And I just saw an opportunity and a need to provide better, more timely, more video-centric information about teams and what's happening in our city. And we need to generate more revenues. I mean, it's pretty simple. We're all in that business. We have to pay our employees more money. We have to continue to grow. And so it was a new line of business for us. And right now, I'm just being very straightforward. We have a great relationship with Comcast Sportsnet. Fantastic. And they're great, great partners. But they don't pay us enough money. And you know, you look around the league and they and other cable companies have done new deals with teams and they pay them a lot of money, like in some cases 5 or 10 times more than we make. Well, that has an effect. It increases what the cap is because a few teams are generating more revenue. So we have to pay more money to the players because it drags up, if you will, the revenues for the league. But it puts us at a competitive disadvantage, right, in that we don't have the resources to be able to compete with some of these teams. And so at some point, we have to either launch our own cable network. The Orioles and the Nationals own their network. It's called Masson. They have two teams. They don't deal with Comcast Sportsnet. They deal with Comcast, the cable company. And so the Monumental Network puts us in practice. You know, we'll build the studio. We've hired, we have Monumental Productions. We're producing content. We're shooting and editing video. One day you'll walk into the Verizon Center and you're going to see a big, modern, cool studio like you've built right here. We're a media company. And I would expect that, you know, our future lies in having a network or ownership in a network so that we can compete with New York. The Knicks right. and the Rangers own their own network. They're a part of that.
So how far down the road is it before we see Monumental Sports Network as one of the channels on our system?
Well, right now it's available on the web, and maybe we can do some things with over-the-top kind of television. And our deal with Comcast ends in, I think, 4 years or 5 years. And, you know, it'll be – we'll see what the future holds. I'm not being disrespectful at all to Comcast. I mean that. They are wonderful people and great, great partners, and I'm very appreciative of the business, but the world's changed.
Pack. Let's go to the phones now. Ronald calling in from the district with a Wizards question. Hello, Ronald.
Hey, how you doing, Ted? How you doing this morning?
Very well.
Quick two questions. First question is, one, I think Whitney's doing a nice job, but have you thought about have you considered Gary Williams? Because a lot of people I talked to in the D.C. area thought he'd be a good coach. And then the second question, possibly maybe picking up Allen Iverson, you could word the contract some kind of way where if something goes wrong or something goes awry, you could get of it. But he might be a good pickup player for you. Thanks.
No, when you have a coach, you support the coach, and we haven't considered any other coaches. And no, we haven't considered Allen Iverson because we're in a rebuild situation, and we think we are stacked in the backcourt now with John back and healthy and Bradley Beal and Jordan Crawford, and we think we are good to go in the backcourt.
Did I see you say that you expected 500 basketball for the rest of the season?
Well, in our off season, when we were putting the team together, the staff came and presented, you know, what the stats were. And basketball is very analytical, and we have all these PhDs running around, and then you have your front office with Ernie and Tommy and Milt, and you know, what were the expectations? And it was the third year of the rebuild, and it was we have to show progress and positive steps so that we can become a playoff team and continue to improve the team and make investments. And then we want to build a team that can compete and win a championship. I mean, that's what every team believes and says, but we were public with that plan. And so we thought 500 this year would be a big step forward, but it also would have the double benefit of putting you in the playoff hunt. And teams that play 500 in the East, that's how competitive and how much parity that you could make the playoffs. And that would be great progress. And so now our team is back together. And it was, well, if we can play 500 basketball from here on out, at least it would give us a signal that the players that we've put in place and have under contract and the coaching staff, that that plan was starting to come to fruition. Now, I'm not naive. We know we need to add to the team, and there's only four ways you can add to the team. One is waiver wires, you know, pick somebody up like Allen Iverson. And two is you make a trade. And you have to be able to, in most cases, take on money when you take a trade, because you're going to trade young assets for a player, and we're willing to do that. People around the league know that we are willing to make that investment. And then you have to sign free agents. Well, until you start to become a better team, free agents don't want to play for you. I think we're getting to that point now where the team is starting to be competitive. People know the locker room situation is very straightforward, and the integrity is good. And so I think we can add through free agents. But to be blunt, when I look at the free agents that will be available in the offseason, I don't see a transformational star that will come here. There's some good players, but LeBron James, is it going to be a free agent in the offseason?
Just about a minute left, but I want to ask you about the Leonsis Foundation and Monumental Sports and Entertainment Foundation pledge to donate $1.5 million to local charities.
Well, we wanted to put together a big comprehensive set of programs as atonement for missing those 34 games. And so we have a foundation that we raise money. We're very active at Monumental Sports and Entertainment. And certainly my wife and I and children have had a foundation. And we said, well, let's get even more aggressive and be very, very active in the community. And charity is just one way. And just to show that, one, we were apologetic, and two, that we care about our fans and people. And, you know, we've done a lot of research, and the military is important, health, education. These are the main planks that we look for. But we're also very supportive of our season ticket holders. You know, just the other day, someone's going to have a bar mitzvah. Will you help? Someone, is looking for something to give to their auction, and we try to be as supportive as we can.
Good. I hope you have great success with
Thanks, Bruce.
And
I learned
and
a lot
else.
Today, and I'm very impressed with what TOP's done, and in it to be really not a radio station anymore, really spectacular, interactive environment.
It's always fun for us when you come in.
Thanks
Ted.
Take care.